is taking care of things right now.
To Wesley Fields. Touchdown. Georgia Southern.
Pass swings on the way. It's gone! It is well with my stolen Montgomery! Georgia Southern wins!
Welcome to the Georgia Southern Extra Podcast. I'm your co-host, Nathan Dominus. With me, as always, is McLean Baxley. McLean, how you doing tonight?
Hanging in there, trying to stay warm.
Okay, stay warm. As we're taping this, it's Tuesday night of game week. Georgia Southern hosting Appalachian State. I need to pronounce that right. Appalachian State, we'll get it right. At 6 p.m. on Saturday at Paulson Stadium. And we have a very special guest. You might remember he came on earlier this season. Ethan Joyce from the Winston-Salem Journal. Ethan, welcome back to the show.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me again.
Okay, well, you were so great last time. We want you to come back. So the game this season was supposed to be originally, I believe, Wednesday, October 14th, nationally televised game, a Wednesday night, a short work week. Very different circumstances now, being at the end of a long regular season. And I'll ask McLean, but let me start with Ethan. What's the situation for the team compared to what they had going when they were supposed to play Georgia Southern? How are the Mountaineers looking going into this week in terms of personnel and the mindset?
Well, you know, I think you're kind of coming off of a disappointing result against, you know, both Coastal, who is really kind of taking the nation by storm at this point, have a really strong game against Troy, and then follow that up with a loss to Louisiana. You know, in a year that's just kind of been crazy, a year that, you know, I feel for any first-year head coach trying to deal with it. And a year where the App State offense has really kind of had its issues as far as trying to move the ball downfield in the passing game. You know, they've always really prided themselves on their running attack and tried to take the big home run shots when they could. And that's just been few and far between this year, and it's really kind of taking its toll on the offense a little bit. But you know, still a hungry team, and I think ending with a rivalry game like this one is one that you can still keep people excited for. You know, App State's gotten used to playing for conference championships and, you know, having that on the line as the season kind of came to a close. And without that this year, they're obviously a little disappointed, but, you know, ending it with Georgia Southern, I think, is a good way to do it, especially considering the way the last couple of years have gone.
Yeah, I would think that App State is so used to playing in the conference championship game or winning the conference title outright, and if there wasn't a game before that. So disappointment must be a big thing. But like you said, I agree that having a big-time rival to play this week is probably just the right antidote for how they're feeling. McLean, you see it the same way as far as what this game means for both teams?
Yeah, I mean, similarly to App State, even though Georgia Southern hasn't been in that conference title conversation the past couple of years, you know, it seems like this game is kind of been, you know, Georgia Southern Super Bowl has been their conference championship, you know, the past 2 years being able to, you know, defeat the Mountaineers, a ranked Mountaineers team, first in 2018 in Statesboro and then last year up in Boone. So I think a lot of players, a lot of the coaches kind of feel like this is, you know, the best game every year of the regular season. And that even includes, you know, when they go to Clemson or LSU. Or, you know, host, you know, Florida Atlantic or host, you know, UMass. This is still their Super Bowl. This is the big game that the players, the coaches, the fans, everybody gets hyped for. So I think it's nice, you know, Coach Lunsford talked about it on Monday about this kind of being he likes it that it's the last game of the season. You know, in normal years, the last game of the season would have been Georgia State, you know, as they're with rivalry week with, you know, Auburn, Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan. But now that, you know, the way things have transpired, it's nice to have it on the last Saturday night of the season. This is actually the first Saturday they've played this game since 2013, since they were both FCS. So the first time in FBS history that Georgia Southern and Appalachian State are playing on a Saturday.
If I'm a college football player, which is a big if, but if I'm a college football player and I've been going since August and I've been playing these games, and Georgia Southern, for example, hasn't had a bye week in a while, I'm pretty beat up. I'm pretty tired. Maybe I got finals week to worry about too, that kind of stuff. But then if I have an opponent like App State and vice versa for App State and Georgia Southern, I would think that's kind of gives you that little extra boost, that motivation throughout the week to get it's a road trip for App State. So, you know, that's never a great time, but I think it all adds up to maybe giving them that little a bit of energy. And as Ethan mentioned, it's been a long season. It's been a very unusual season. Ethan, especially coming off of that wild Friday night loss on TV, on national TV last week, have you been able to see anything about the mood of the team? Where they've been able to refocus on Georgia Southern, or are they kind of still living in for a couple of days? Were they still living in the Louisiana game? Was that still on their minds?
No, I mean, they were clearly disappointed with the Louisiana game, but I think they've been pretty good about being able to kind of move on. And I think every football program in America says, you know, we're trying to be 1-0 this week or something of that chord. But, you know, there's not really much that they can do about it. And I think Sean Clark, App's head coach, even said it during his press conference on Monday, you know, the issues that they're seeing are pretty black and white. And I mean, he's right. You know, the way they have lost has been very similar in all of these games. And if he's being that blunt about it, I'm sure Georgia Southern's seen it on tape pretty squarely too. So I think they've turned that page, but you know, this is a game that you get up for sure. And I think for App State, the football team, and even for the fan base, you know, I think they'd like to see them come out and look a little stronger here at the end of the season before maybe they potentially go to whatever bowl they're heading to.
What has been the biggest difference on the field from App State in the past, you know, the past three years that have won and competed for Sun Belt championships? What's been the biggest on-field difference with this 2020 team?
You know, I think really it does come down to not having the consistent threat to stretch the field in the passing game. And you can trace that to a few things. You can trace it to Corey Sutton opting out before the football season. You can trace it to the fact that they've had some banged up guys this year and some younger guys have been asked to step up. And you've seen flashes from some of those younger guys. They have a guy named Christian Wells, who is a redshirt freshman this year. He's going to be a really good player at App State. But like the, you know, being able to perform at a consistent level the way Corey Sutton did, that's a pretty tall ask because, you know, Corey was a big target. He was really good on deep routes, but he also, you know, is a fabulous route runner, fabulous, like, jump ball adjustment guy. Just, you know, was really good at positioning his body to come down with a catch. And that's just something that's really hard to replace. So, you know, you take that into account. You take into account that Thomas Hennigan's been pretty banged up and he's just starting to look healthy again. Their starting tight end got hurt in the first game of the season and he's starting to look healthier again. Jalen Virgil, a guy that could be a deep threat with a lot of speed, has been hurt as well. So a lot of things have just kind of kept App a little restricted there. And, you know, you see it sometimes in the games where people really try to challenge them to throw the ball more and they stack the box.
When you have a quarterback like Zach Thomas, who's such a known quantity, and the success that App State has had winning the conference championship year after year, are expectations so high that no matter what happens, it's going to be looked at as a disappointing season because of the bar so high? Or does a win over Georgia Southern, if that's what happens, would that make it kind of all better in fans' minds and in Mountaineer Nation's minds?
Well, there's clearly disappointment, and I think one of the issues is one of these days, App State was not gonna win a conference championship. Like, that was just bound to happen. The cliff that they've been on has been pretty extreme, and I think, you know, one thing that I kind of take into account, you know, as a reporter covering the team, but also seeing the fan reaction, is just that, you know, I think for a first year coach, you're talking about a national pandemic that we've never seen before. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got three losses to three good teams and, you know, it's still very much a winning record. And so I think, to circle back to your point, beating Georgia Southern would be a big deal, especially for these groups of seniors, because not only have these games these last couple of years been really frustrating, they've just had so many fluky different components. You know, you go back to 2018, which, you know, I thought was, you know, maybe the best team I'd ever seen at App State. And, you know, you see Zach Thomas get knocked out of the game, and it just went into a cataclysmic snowball from there. You know, just just one thing after another, and that game turned into just the blowout that it was. And then last year, you've got an undefeated App team that's starting to raise up in those national conversations, and you get one of the most ridiculous weather games that I think I've seen on the beat. So, you know, just there's been that combination of not stepping up against Georgia Southern and also just the fluky things that happen around those games. This would be a big one to win. And it'd be a big one for Sean Clark, too, just because he's a first-year coach, and it would be a great win to be the signature of the season for his first year that's had some issues. But I think he's done a really good job of navigating it all.
Yeah, I think that those are excellent points. When you mentioned the quality of opponent that they've lost to, Marshall and Coastal Carolina and Louisiana, you know, ranked teams, all good teams. And I do want to ask both of you guys, while we mentioned Coastal Carolina, remember we're taping this on Tuesday night. The college football rankings just came out, and, you know, they're still on the outside, of course, based on where they've started, being a favorite to finish last in the East Division, to now being the face of the Sun Belt Conference and the team that, I guess, in some sort of fantasy world, or maybe reality, that they could break into the playoff if a lot of things would happen, I guess. Maybe it's still impossible. But to talk about it, how good is Coastal Carolina? I mean, there's no shame in losing to Coastal Carolina this year, right? So what did you guys – what was your take on when Georgia Southern played Coastal Carolina and back when App State played Coastal Carolina? Could you tell that this team was for real, that this was going to be a week-in, week-out, top 15 kind of team?
I think I was really interested to see how App State would try to step up against that Coastal Carolina team. And, I mean, like, Coastal Carolina had flaws in that game. You know, they didn't necessarily play the prettiest game. And as far as it goes, you know, App State had a really good shot of potentially beating them there. You know, it doesn't help when Zach Thomas throws three interceptions and, you know, you just can't play football like that against a team that is like really kind of making it staple of winning ball game. I think it says a lot when a team can win a game like that. And so that's kind of what I took away from it. And then, you know, now you're talking about a team that scheduled a game against BYU on short notice and put so much pressure on the line of scrimmage. You know, like that was one of the best games up front that I've ever seen. Not just for Coastal Carolina, but for a Sun Belt football team, you know, to do that to an opponent that you would probably assume to be superior, that was incredible. And I think that's what's hard about, you know, the Sun Belt having the success it's having this year, and it's doing it without App, essentially. Right. You know, that's a hard pill for the fan base to swallow. But, you know, you mentioned them losing to three ranked teams, and, you know, App State had a ranking at one point earlier this season, which seems like 3 years ago at this point. But, you know, like those were the expectations that App State had. And I think they're getting – the fan base is getting this double whammy of that should be us, and we lost these tight games to really good teams. Yeah, you know, that's it. Coastal's proven their merit, man. Like you gotta have a little magic, and you gotta take care of your business. And they've done both of that.
App State's three losses are to teams that have a total two losses, and one of those losses is to the other team. You know, with Louisiana losing to Coastal. So I mean, like you said, the standard at App State is where I feel like a lot of Georgia Southern fans feel like their standard should be in competing for conference championships, competing for undefeated seasons, and you know. When you walk on the field, people think you are the best team. I think even now, App State, even with two or three losses, I mean, like you said, I mean, I went to that Coastal game, that Coastal Appalachian State game, thinking that, you know, App State's probably going to win this and, you know, kill the fun for everybody in the country as they do. But, you know, they didn't. And so, yeah, I mean, it's been impressive to see Coastal rise up. You know, Ethan, you've been covering the team for a while. What's a game that sticks out to you that you know, 20 years from now will be like your favorite game that you've covered, Appalachian State, not just Appalachian State, Georgia Southern, but Appalachian State in general.
Oh my Lord.
I know there's many to choose from.
The Idaho game was fun in 2017. because they came back from, I think it was 20 points down, or it might have been 23, but I feel like it was 20. That one was pretty fun, and that was a big turning point for that team. I mean, the Penn State game for me is always going to be up there. That's probably my favorite. You know, they lost in that game, but it was just such a – it was such a crazy, magical fourth quarter. And, you know, like I'm sitting there on the brink of – yeah, I'm thinking like, my God, I'm gonna write the story of my life right now if they win this football game, because like I'm not somebody that brings up Michigan ever because you know that's what TV broadcasts do and you know that's the easy thing to talk about with App State and I never do that because so much has happened since then. It's a different program, but you know that was an anniversary date of that win. And App State was almost beating Penn State. That one was crazy. That's probably my favorite. That was a blast. And like to feel Happy Valley shaking like that was bananas. And they gave, you know, the fans gave App State a standing ovation as they left the field. That was a special, special game to watch.
Okay. I got to do a note to self. Don't ask Ethan about the Michigan game. Okay. Got it. Okay. That's one for us old timers. McLean, what was your take on Georgia Southern, Coastal Carolina? I'll share mine if you want to think some deep thoughts. But you got to remember that Coastal Carolina's hot young quarterback didn't even play in the game, and their backup, who had I think 7 games of starting experience and competed for the starting job, did a better than average. He had a better than average game. Georgia Southern did not have a better than average game. Wesley Kennedy's punt return, you know, provided one of their scores. And I think the game was tied going in the fourth quarter, but that fourth quarter was owned by Coastal Carolina. It was like one team had a lot more energy than the other team. And it was pretty hot down on the field for both teams. So if you didn't have it that afternoon, that early day, it was a noon kickoff, I believe. So it was one of those things where Georgia Southern just didn't have it in the fourth quarter. They didn't finish. And Coastal Carolina just kind of put it in, took it to another gear. And,
yeah, I mean, like Ethan was saying, how some of these games feel like years ago. That game feels so long ago. I know it was like late September, early October, but I mean, it feels so long ago. But back then, in that time, you know, Georgia Southern was a one-loss team. They still controlled their own destiny. If they beat Coastal and then, you know, won out in the Sun Belt, they still controlled right. The East. But then, like you said, that fourth quarter, Coastal went down and scored 2 quick touchdowns. Went up by 14, and by then it was over. And I think that the scheduling for Georgia Southern this year hurt them eventually. I mean, at the end of the day, because you know they played the 2 best teams, 2 ranked teams in conference, you know, within 2 or 3 weeks of each other. So I mean that hurt them. And so by late September, early October, they were already out of the conference title. Run, right. And you know, even if they had won out, I mean, obviously Coastal still undefeated, and then you know, App State, you know, has a couple of losses, but I mean, they were out of the title race by you know mid October, which you never want to be in, and fans are not you know not happy with that, obviously, but I mean, that was a game you know where Coastal is good, and they are this year's team. I mean, Cincinnati is also up there still, as of you know Tuesday night when. I think Cincinnati is now 8th in the college football playoff rankings. And, you know, so it's them and Coastal for that New Year's 6 bid. But just, I mean, I've watched probably 2 Cincinnati games. I've watched, you know, several Coastal games and just eyeballing tests. You know, I'm a 23-year-old, you know, college student who covers Georgia Southern. I think Coastal looks better and more of a complete team. And could they hang with, you know, Clemson or an Alabama or a Notre Dame? Probably not, but I don't think Cincinnati could either. And so if you had Cincinnati and Coastal play, I think Coastal would win. But, I mean, all season, I mean, they've just gotten better each week. And then, you know, penultimately, you know, last week by hosting a team that was averaging, you know, 30-plus points, and they held them to 17 on 4 days' notice. So
that game, by the way, that game was at Coastal Carolina and Conway was October 24th. It does seem like a long time ago. It was coming. Georgia Southern was coming off that UMass game. They didn't get BYU, obviously, for that in-between week when they lost the original App State schedule. They got UMass on short notice, beat them 41-0, and then went up to Coastal, probably full of confidence. and a lot healthier than they are right now, which is my way of transitioning to the state of the team's health. We've got a few more minutes here, so I wanted to give both of you guys a chance to talk about the lineup that's going to be going into Saturday compared to what would have been going on had these teams played. I know that's kind of a hypothetical, but this is the reality is Georgia Southern's lineup for this Saturday's game, based on what we would project what will happen, based on the reports we've gotten from Coach Chad Lunsford and just how everything is kind of trending right now, it sounds like or looks like Justin Thomas will start again on Saturday. Obviously, he's got a few games of experience, but you'd much rather have Shai Wirtz in there right now going up against App State, certainly. Shai Wirtz, a healthy Shai Wirtz I don't even want to put percentages on it, but a healthy Shai Wirtz would be what they'd want this Saturday. But McClay, go ahead and talk about just the difference in Georgia Southern right now, just from a couple of weeks ago. They have a lot of missing pieces.
Yeah, I mean, Shai Wirtz, obviously, when he's at his full strength, I think he is one of the top players in the Sun Belt, top quarterbacks in the Sun Belt. And, you know, the past 2 years, he's done fantastic against App State, you know, career games and moments that, you know, he'll remember forever. And so throwing a redshirt sophomore in there is going to be very different in Justin Tomlin. But, Tomlin almost knocked off a undefeated Minnesota team at Minnesota last year. So, I mean, he is able to do it, I think, when he, you know, is able to calm down and really, you know, work. He'll have another week of offense, you know, running the offense under new offensive coordinator, Doug Roos. So that'll be a lot cleaner, you know, in his handoffs and his pitches and his reads, is everything, the time of everything. So it'll be a lot better, a lot cleaner game, hopefully, for Georgia Southern than it was against, this past weekend. So FAU, yeah. So, then on defense, you know, Kendrick Duncan, safety. We don't know his status yet, but again, last week, you know, they had a couple of guys step up and were able to you know, hold down an FAU team, and only they didn't find the end zone once. So, App State's a different team than in Florida Atlantic, but I mean, they've shown that you know, next man up mentality is still ringing true in Statesboro.
It's a lot to ask when you're missing guys that were the starters from the beginning of the season, and now they're missing, and there's several. Some due to being charged on drug, being arrested on drug charges, where they lost a starting nose tackle, they lost a starting running back, they lost a backup linebacker, and then they had a backup cornerback who came back for the FAU game after sitting out a game because he had just a misdemeanor drug possession charge compared to the other guys had multiple charges. Ethan, what's what you mentioned? Some of the guys being hurt, some of the wide receivers. Maybe being able to come back. What's this the health of the team right now?
Yeah, App's been kind of lucky these last couple weeks. They've come out of games pretty unscathed. You know, I mentioned most of their notable big injuries were on the offensive side of the ball. Yeah, you know, I mentioned Thomas Hennigan. He's been playing this whole time, dealing with, I think it's like a leg injury, and he's like gotten healthier over time, but just one of those instances where, you know, he's a tough dude that wants to keep playing, and so he has. You know, he was talking to a few of us media members, I want to say it was last week or a couple weeks ago, where he was kind of saying, yeah, you know, if I probably take a game off, maybe I come back healthier, but I knew this team needed me as much as I could give to them. You know, Jalen Virgil, another one of those guys that was missing for a while, and I think now he's kind of rounding a little more into form. He's gotten a little more action here lately. Henry Pearson, really sure-handed tight end that's kind of gotten healthier since that season-opening injury that I talked about. I think the big difference from when the game would have happened in October to now is App State doesn't have Dietrich Harrington. They never gave a diagnosis of what his injury was, but they said he was going to be gone for an extended period of time. You know, I don't think he's coming back this week. That would really shock me if he was, but, you know, I was supposed to go to practice today, but they went indoors, and when they go indoors in COVID, I can't go watch practice, which is totally understandable, you know, but it's like, that would have been I would have had a little more, info on that kind of going to practice today, but that's really the big guy that's missing. But they haven't had him for quite a few games now. They've been working a true freshman running back into the rotation named Nate Noel, who is a fabulous runner at a young age, and I think he's going to be a really good player for App State down the line. Just a really fun running back to watch, because he's kind of that smaller scat back type guy who has the pass catching ability when they try to get him the ball. So he's fun, and I think you guys will like watching him play, because he's a blast.
So Ethan, yeah, you know, this week when we were talking with players and coaches and fans and everything, you know, the App State Georgia Southern rivalry is Georgia Southern's rivalry. You know, they grew up together in FCS. They've, you know, competed for SoCon championships, competed for Sun Belt championships, competed for national championships. You know, what is the rivalry between Georgia Southern and App State mean to you, and also, you know, to this team and this program?
You know, to me, it's a blast. Like, I love rivalry games. I especially love how, you know, it's such a cliche to say it, but like, it's so unscripted, right? It doesn't really matter what's mm-hmm. going on with the teams at any given time. And I think that's what I've enjoyed so much about the, you know, the last two matchups, is that Georgia Southern has managed to find ways to hit an App State team that was, by ranking wise, far superior right in the mouth. And that's what makes rivalries fun. Like, teams lose when they shouldn't. Some team wins when maybe they shouldn't. That's what makes them fun for me. You know, I know that these seniors have hated the fact that the last two games have gone the way they have, because, you know, we talked about Coastal earlier, but, you know, when I look back on those two seasons and think about how different they could have been if one of those Georgia Southern games was a win, you know, you're talking about App State having a similar Coastal Carolina-like season.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem is I think Coastal, you know, has this benefit of it being a weird year, some teams not playing. And again, kind of like I mentioned earlier, that magic of, you know, the right place, right time, taking care of your business. You know, that's what this Georgia Southern game has meant to these seniors and to this football program the last 2 years. It's been the thing that has stopped them in their tracks of that rise, and, you know, potentially getting to a, you know, New Year Six Bowl or you know, whatever that might have led to it if they would have won that game. So it's a big one for App. And Sean Clark, I mean, is an App State grad, former football player. This is a game that he looks forward to. You know, this is one that he's excited about. So it's big. It's big on both sides, and that's why I love covering it, because it's just a blast.
Very well put. McLean, you've talked to players for years about their hatred of App State. We're running toward the end of the show, so I'll ask both of you guys to guess, I guess, how you think it's going to go. Certainly the emotions will be high, and playing at Paulson Stadium in Statesboro, I know home field hasn't always meant everything, but I feel like for Georgia Southern, I think they've won 10 straight at home. I think that's probably maybe a little bit of an edge that they need, considering how everything else might be leaning towards App State, different kind of categories that you're looking at, the state of the teams. But you know, Georgia Southern kind of played much better than expected on defense, certainly last week, despite the so many players being out. Well, how do you feel like this game's going to go this Saturday, all things considered? And I guess if there's a crazy weather situation, throw that in there as well as one of the variables.
You know, I think that I think one of the plagues of covering App State in the era that I have is, like, I almost always assume that they're probably going to come out with the win, because that's just been what I've been accustomed to. I say that to say, I think there's a little gunpowder in the stomach on this one, because they've had some high expectations this year and some of those haven't been met. And while that might not be, you know, a ranking or what have you, might not be as important to the football program as much as the fan base, you know, those players wanted to play for another conference championship. They're not doing that. And they're getting to close their season out with their rival after a game where they didn't have the best showing, and it still came down to the wire anyways. So I think I think you want to go out with a bang, and I think that's what App State tries to do here. I think that like I said, I'm used to seeing App State win football games, and I think this kind of adds up for them to try to put together a really good performance to end the season out with.
I'm gonna agree. On the opposite side of what Ethan was saying about how he kind of expects App State to win a lot. I've gone in the past 2 years thinking that George Southern's going to lose because, App State has the better, record, has the better ranking. Before 2018, they had won, I think, 4 in a row. So, everything was leaning towards there. So, last year, we didn't even send – when I was, editor of the Georgia student newspaper, we didn't even send anybody to Boone because we didn't have much of the budget. But we also I thought it was going to be a blowout because they were going to try and get revenge. This year, I think it's going to be that revenge game where – they've lost 2 in a row, like we said earlier about how it kind of kept them out of that New Year's Six conversation, ruined a perfect season last year. I think it's going to be a close game. It's a rivalry game. It's a game that, this is probably a lot of these seniors, last games in Paulson, Rashad Bird, Raymond Johnson, Todd Bradley, Drew Wilson. A lot of these guys, Darren Anderson on the out. The list goes on and on about these guys. The senior class, who none of them have said they're coming back, none of them have said they're not coming back. But for the last time they're playing in Paulson, they're going to play super strong, super tight, and it's going to be close. But I think App State is going to have that fourth quarter run that Georgetown's been susceptible to against teams like all four of their losses. Frankly, all four losses have come down to that fourth quarter, and Georgetown's been on the losing end of all four. So I think if App State's going to do it again and send another loss George Southern's way, 7-5 regular season for the Eagles heading into bowl season.
Okay, well, it's time to wrap up the show. You guys did tremendous as always. Ethan, thank you so much. That's your second appearance on the show. I think if you're on 5 times, you get a robe like Saturday Night Live hosts or something like that. Maybe a belt. Maybe a belt for surviving being on a George Southern podcast. 5 times. We'll see. We'll get to that next season, I hope. Ethan, thanks very much for being on the show. McLean, thanks as always for co-hosting. We're taping this again, just for context, on Tuesday night. Game is Saturday, and we'll be back next week to talk about the game and to hopefully sort out the bowl situation for George Southern, App State, and all the Sun Belt Conference teams. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the Georgia Southern Extra Podcast. Have a good night.
Is taking care of things right now.
The Wesley Fields. Touchdown. Georgia Southern.
Pass swing.